Can anybody quote Jeremiah 29:11? That's a good one, isn't it? You guys, that one's almost like right up there with John 3:16, isn't it? Like, I mean, everybody knows that one, but there's a big story behind that. Has anybody moved recently, or you know, traveled from one location to the other, and you got a big move, and it's like something's going on? Yeah. Anybody? A lot of you are like coming from one location, moving down here to this, where you know our winters are much easier to handle. You know, Idaho is just cold. I don't know. It is just cold there. Yes. When I was little, my father had the opportunity to go study teach at a Nazarene University, Mount Vernon Nazarene University. Back then it was college, and now it's a university. We traveled from Arizona to Ohio, and we had our Arizona winter coat. That didn't work in Ohio. but we had to learn a whole new way of life. It was vastly different. I don't know if you know this or not, but Ohio and Arizona are not the same places. You cannot be a sun devil in Ohio because there are far too many Buckeyes there. One time, we learned that when the freezer gets full, you just open the back door and stick it in the snow. It's like it never occurred to me that that was an option. Of course, it would be an option, right? Sometimes moving really, and my sister of all just absolutely loathed Ohio. It was cold. It was different. This was not the way it was supposed to be, according to my sister. And we were in this undesired location. Many of us experience undesired locations in our life, don't we? What I mean by undesired location is like not just moving from one place to the other, but sometimes you are in a job that you are not desiring. Has anybody ever been there? Yeah? Sometimes you have a medical condition that is undesired. Sometimes you've got senioritis, and you've got the whole rest of the senior year to go. And you're still a junior, you got senioritis. It's crazy. Sometimes you're single, and you're just tired of being single. Sometimes you're married and you're tired of being married. Oh. You guys laugh and scold me, but you know the truth. There are some days, there are just some days that, you know. I want to talk to you about how our Christian walk looks like, even in these undesired locations. Unwanted spaces, places that aren't good, places that I didn't want to be here, I don't want to be here, this is not what I anticipated life would be, but somehow I'm here. And I want to talk to you because we all get in these places sometimes. We are all susceptible to this. We have all been in places in our life, spaces in our life, locations in our life, that are undesired, unwanted, but God still has a plan for us. And believe it or not, that's where Jeremiah 29:11 sits. It's not, you know, a lot of us use that verse, but a lot of us didn't read the rest of the chapter. We find the Israelites in an undesired location in the book of Jeremiah in the 29th chapter. We find the Israelites are not where they want to be. And so, in the first chapter, it says this. This is the text of the letter. You guys didn't know texting was in Scripture. So this is the text of the letter that the prophet Jeremiah sent to Jerusalem to the surviving sent from Jerusalem to the surviving elders among the exiles and to the priests, the prophets, and all the other peoples Nebuchadnezzar had carried into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. A couple of key things I want you to know. Surviving elders. Yeah. What's that tell you? That there are some that didn't survive. Exile. And by the way, Jerusalem to Babylon. It's about 600 miles from Jerusalem straight across to Babylon. But that's not how you travel back in this time. There aren't any highways. And there are not Teslas to get you from here to there. Or even Model Ts. You're hoofing it. And you're going to go north towards Damascus and follow along the water paths, the rivers, and so it's actually about 900-mile journey. And it's not like that, you know, they had a U-Haul. And it's not like, oh, we're moving to a new place. This is what's inscribed on the walls or carved into the walls in Babylon, telling you of what they did. They enslaved the Israelites and drug them across the desert into Babylon. And when you walk into Babylon, the first gate you go through, inscribed on the wall in bright blue tiles, a mosaic of a goddess. So you've been taken out of your home, and while you're leaving, behind you, as the smoke rises, because they have burned your entire city. And it's smoldering and burning, and they're still dragging you across, and the screams and the yells and the shouts of your friends and family that aren't being taken are what you're hearing behind you. And you're taken into a new place where you're taught to speak a new language because your language isn't good anymore. You are given different kinds of foods. You are even given new names. And given jobs to do that you're not getting paid for. Do you think that the Israelites were liking this new location? They are in an undesired location. An unwanted space. But I want to point something. Somewhere in this passage, it shifts from Jeremiah writing. And if you will, he almost hands the pen over to God. And it says this: this is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says. Who's writing this? No. Who's writing this? It says so right there. No. This is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says. Who's saying this? God. Yes, it's in the book Jeremiah. But God is, this is what God says. To all those I carried into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. Who did this? Was it Nebuchadnezzar? Who did this? What's it say there? God is the one that carried him into exile. So somehow they were living life out in Israel, and through a series of good kings and a whole lot more bad kings, they began to shift their lives from worshiping God to worshiping false idols and having false prophets and different things like that, and not paying any attention to God. Even at one point, one of the kings brought idols into God's temple and placed them in there. But when Jeremiah hands the pen over to God, he says, I'm the one that took you into Babylon. I'm the one that sent you to exile. Now, I'm going to say this, but if you're in an undesired location, if you're in some place in your life where this isn't what I like, this isn't what I expected, this isn't what I wanted to have in life, I didn't expect to have cancer, I didn't expect to have this disease, I didn't expect to have bad knees and can't walk half the time, I didn't expect to have that cold, that flu, that whatever, I didn't expect to see my spouse leave me for some other person, I didn't expect this, and I don't like where I'm at. It may be that it's God who brought you to this place. And so this brings me to my first point. God brought me here. You know, we didn't like going to Ohio. It was cold there. And shortly after we arrived, they had this thing called winter, which is different than here in Arizona. I think we had 18 inches the very first time it snowed. Frozen ice everywhere. And there's this like inch layer of ice on Dad's windshield, and he's late for work. And of course, what do? You turn the car on, you let it heat up. It's not melting the ice right away. He gets the teapot out and boils some water and crack the windshield. And I remember Dad saying, oh, I knew better. I saw this commercial the other day. It's just frozen, snow everywhere. And the guy comes out and you see he sets his coffee cup down in his bag and he's just scraping and chiseling. I'm like, oh, I remember that. Because guess who Dad sent out to do that in the mornings? Chisel, chisel, you scrape, 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 get the, you know. And he worked, and you could see him just furiously getting all the snow off. And then he pushes his key button, and the car next to him lights up. And he's like, oh, no! But somehow you have to get into this place in life where you say, okay, wherever I'm at, God brought me here. I'm going to trust you, Lord. You brought me here. You brought me to this place. And you are sovereign. You are God. You are the one that controls the universe and controls even my life. It's your hand that's in my life. It's your hand that's doing this. And I'm going to seek you and understand that you brought me here. Watch what happens here. In Jeremiah 29, 5 and 6, it says this. Build houses and settle down. Plant gardens and eat what they produce. Marry and have sons and daughters. Find wives for your sons and daughters. Give your daughters in marriage so that they too may have sons and daughters and increase there in number there. Do not decrease. Why would God have to tell them that? Because they weren't. Usually when you tell somebody to do something, it's because they're not doing it, right? Are you with me? Are you tracking? I think what they did is we're in this place that we don't like to be, and we're just gonna put pause on everything until we get out of this place. I'm gonna stop living until I get taken out of this place. And God says, no. Where you are, start living. If you want to have a prosperous life in God's kingdom, He doesn't ever tell you to stop living. He tells you to start living. Keep living. And He gave a whole set of instructions there, and it was fun stuff. You know, we usually celebrate these things. Weddings, new babies. I am a baby guy. I really love babies. And so I'm patiently waiting for the day when grandchildren come my way. I'm not ready yet. Just finish school, do your thing. When the time comes, I'll be ready. I'm going to be the best grandpa you have ever seen. That is a day of celebration, let me tell you. I remember the day Brittany came along. We were in Prescott, Arizona. And we called everybody, and they all drove up to Prescott. Ann's dad stood out in the hallway with a rose. And he would twirl it right around his nose, smelling the rose. But he was anxiously anticipating his brand new granddaughter. Now, I was falling apart. And I came out of the room, that place where they have babies at in there. I mean, Ann was doing the work. I was just there, white as a ghost. And the doctor goes, hey, Dad, do you want to cut the umbilical cord? Anne says, no. Yeah, her sister got to do it. And the doctor, I heard these words, and then things went kind of black. Just saw right through that. And then my vision went. And I stumbled out the door, just sobbing and blubbering about, you know. And Anne's dad, is everything okay? What's going on? She's fine. She's great. Baby's good. Oh, okay. And he went back to twirling the rose, waiting for that moment to present that one rose. Do you remember that, Doug? Kinda. He kind of remembers. These are celebration things. Babies are wonderful. And he says, listen, build houses. Don't just live in tents there and wait. Don't stop living. Build that house and make that house your home. Build gardens. Plant gardens. You know what? Gardens take time. We have a bush in our backyard to just produce some really lovely jalapenos. I made fresh salsa the other night. Our jalapenos are a little hotter than the ones you get in the store, though. Anne doesn't like it that hot. But James is getting watery mouth there because he knows I share my jalapenos. There we go. All right. See, good stuff. Good things. If you go over to Penny's house, she's got trees that make nuts, lemons. How's the grapevine doing? Is it coming along? It's not the season. Okay. But she's over there in Paradise Acres, and I tell you what, she's got some beautiful trees and plants and all sorts of things there. One of my favorite things, I love this to death. Whenever she harvests whatever it is that's going, she'll bring a little bag of like nuts or whatever and says, here's the first fruits, Pastor. That just blesses my soul. I got to tell you, it really does. It does. It really does. But this is what God tells them, because they had put their lives on pause. We don't want to be here. This isn't my home. We're speaking a different language. We're eating strange foods. We're doing jobs that isn't our jobs. I don't like this. I don't want to be here. I hate this. But God says, no. You don't stop living just because you don't like where you're at. You keep living. And he says, keep living. Marry and have sons. I don't know if you guys know this or not, but I'm awful proud of my son. He is the joy of my heart, right along with my girls. I love it. When he comes to me and says, Dad, show me how to do this, that, or the other. Teach me how to build something. Hey, Dad, what's a good idea for this? I love that. I love my son. He brings joy to my heart. And God says, have sons and daughters. Now, daughters are a different story than sons. I don't know if you know. I love them just the same, but in a different way. You know what I mean? That my daughter, I got four daughters, and I have three daughters, four girls in the house, three daughters, sorry. But my girls, they know how to just like say the right things. They know where the soft spot on my cheek is, and a little kiss right there is the best thing ever. My Brittany's going back to college this afternoon. I may have to take a silent moment. These are joyful things that God says, keep doing. Live this out. So that brings me to the point. I can live here. I can do this. I got this thing. Later on in Scripture, there's this thing that says, I can do all things through Christ. Who gives me strength? You have to put it in a chant like that, because when you chant it like that, it builds in strength and power. I'm serious. Try it out sometime. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. See? That's good. You should learn it that way. That's how Brittany learned it. We used to walk hand in hand. I can do. You can live here. I can do this. I'm in this place where I don't want to be. years ago, we took my dad to the hospital to start fighting against this multiple myeloma cancer. And his words to me were, "I'm scared." The first time I've ever heard that from my dad, ever. I didn't even know how to respond, to be honest with you. Except I did. I said, "We can do this." And as he lied there in that hospital bed, he did not want to be there. That was not living. That was not the good thing. But he fought. Now, that's a fight he did not win. Except when he was done fighting, he did win. But he always had this attitude in life about, "I can do this." And it didn't matter when people said, "I don't think you can." His other response was, "I'll show you." It's something I learned too. I had difficulty with reading. I have dyslexia. You guys know what that is, where the words jump around and they swim a little bit, and sometimes they mash together and make other words. And then there was a lady called Miss Batchelder. I'm certain she had a pointy hat and a broom in her closet. Oh, I was of no good, of no use. I am just these were her words. But it was Mom and Dad who says, "Why don't you just show her how good you actually can be?" It was Mom and Dad who said, "You're not stupid. You just see the world differently." And it did. It took me a little while to discover that I actually do see the world differently. I see things a little different than everybody else does. And God came along and said, "I want you to see things differently," and begin to show other people a different way of seeing things. "I can do this." I told my mom, I said, "I think I'm supposed to be a pastor." She's like, "Okay." It was kind of like that. She goes, "You know you have to write papers all the time when you're a pastor." "Really?" Listen, the only way I got through school and writing all those papers was because Mom sat there next to me, and more times than not, she was typing whatever words came out of my mouth. And when the words came out, she would go, "Why don't we try saying it this way instead, you know?" But you know what? I eventually figured out school. Did pretty well, except for the music class. I still cannot read music. That's a foreign language, I want you to know. Do you know that they passed me through high school without a foreign language? Kind of. Somehow they made it work out that English was my foreign language and counted that. I don't know how that worked, but I made it through. And I made it through college. And I even took master's course stuff at Point Loma. And I did well. I never liked school. But somewhere along the line, I learned to love to learn. I learned to love to learn. But I always went with the attitude, "I can do this. I can live here." So whatever undesired location you're in, whatever it is, you can do this. You can live here. It gets better. I got to tell you, it gets better. Jeremiah 29:7 says this, "And also, seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I have carried you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you too will prosper." Wait just a minute. This Nebuchadnezzar dude came over to our place, burned down our home, killed our family, drug us across the desert, gave us new names, made us speak a different language, gave us new jobs, and we're supposed to seek peace and prosperity in this place? I'd like to see this place burn to the ground. Have you ever said that? And really, in whatever undesired location you're in, whatever it is, whether it's health, whether it's job, whether it's relationships, whether it's where you're living now, whether it's whatever it is, God says this. He says, seek the peace and prosperity of the city in which I have carried you into exile. And then he says, and how are we supposed to do that? Well, he tells you right here in the second part of that. He says, pray to the Lord for it. Pray to the Lord for it. If you don't like your undesired location, pray for it. Whatever it is that you're unsettled about, that you don't like, that you're not, you don't want to be here, pray for it. Whatever situation you're in, if it's a health scare, pray for it. Now I'm going to ruffle some feathers. If it's your president that you don't like, pray for him. How dare you, Pastor? Pray for it. And look at this, he says, because if you pray for it, and if you work in it, and if you do what I ask you to do, and it prospers, you too will prosper. You want to see the blessing of the Lord in your life, in your situation, and whatever it is? Pray for it and make it better. Search for the peace. He says, seek for the peace and prosperity. And pray to the Lord for it. And when it does well, so will you. I can bless others here. Whatever situation I'm in, whatever it is I'm not liking, whatever it is I'm whatever place it's at, wherever it is the Lord has brought me to, I can bless others here. I am not a lump on a log. I am the child of God Almighty who calls me to live life wherever it is I'm at and make it better where I'm at. I can bless others here. Wherever I go, whatever situation it is in, whatever it is, I can make it better here. I can do this. God brought me here. I can live here, and I can bless others here. Amen? I had a pastor friend who just really does not like the church he's at. He is a white guy in a neighborhood that isn't. And he is like pasty white. He is like 1960s white. You know what I mean? Are you hearing me? Do you hear what I'm saying? He actually thinks that those were the good years and that we ought to go back to that. I'm not complaining. I mean, sometimes I think I was brought up in the wrong era. Hot rods and t-shirts. That sounds good to me. And quite frankly, he doesn't fit very well. You know, usually a pastor needs to fit with the congregation that he's at so he can relate and speak into the life. And for a while there, he would search all the different churches that were open. Where could I go next? He even got an offer. It seemed like I had told him to go. I said, that sounds great. You ought to go there. And then somehow the Lord spoke to his heart and said, no, I have brought you here. And you know what? His work has begun to unify the city and all the churches in that city and began to unify the city to do a work in that place. And I'm amazed at what he's accomplishing. And there's stuff he does that I would say to him, I'm not going to do that. You know? But he does it. And he does it with a servant's heart. He says, I'm going to make this place better before I go. Are you hearing me? Yes, this is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says. Who's speaking? Good. Do not let the prophets and diviners among you deceive you. What? Hold on. What's happening? Let me try that again. Do not let the prophets and diviners among you deceive you. Do not listen to the dreams you encourage them to have. They are prophesying lies to you in my name. I have not sent them, declares the Lord. Now listen, this is really a big deal. Because when you're in a place that you don't want to be, when you're in an undesired location, when you're in a space in life that is not what you expected, when your health is bad, when your job is bad, when your relationships are bad, when things are not, you need to stop and go, listen, God brought me here, I can live here, and I can bless others while I'm here, but lots of times you will deceive yourself by saying all sorts of things. You'll do anything you can to get out of the place you're in, but you're telling yourself lies sometimes. That's what this scripture says. It was the people that expected the prophets to say, oh, you know what? Relax. You'll be out of Babylon in no time. It's a maximum of 6 months and we'll be out of here. And you have to pause for a moment and do this. I must ignore deceptive voices here. I must ignore deceptive voices here. So how do you get through that? Well, the next chapter says this. This is what the Lord says. Now, I don't know if you've noticed the pattern here, but time and time and time and time again in this one chapter, you will see this is what the Lord says. This is what the Lord says. This is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says. It's God speaking the truth. He says, when 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will come to you and fulfill my good promise to bring you back to this place. What's the next step? I will seek truth here. Seek the word of God. Seek his voice. Seek what you know to be trustworthy and true. Ignore what is not true. Seek what is true. I will seek the truth where I'm at. And if the truth is bad news, then accept it and move forward in the grace of God. It was bad news to hear that my dad's cancer was inside of his bone marrow, and by the time they found it, by the time it had eaten through his bones so that they could find it, it was pretty much too late. And they said to him, well, there's this new thing, which was like the sailing words for dad. A new thing? That's cool. Where they take your bone marrow and put in stem cells, your own stem cells. Well, he was so weakened by the cancer prior to that that the surgery is not pleasant. It took so much energy that he didn't have, that he didn't win that fight. But on the day of his death, he was still singing praises to Lord God Almighty. His words, even over top of the trach that went through his throat, were, here I am, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, here I am. And I got to watch. I got to be in the presence of God Almighty with my father. And the truth was, even though he was dying of cancer, his spirit was not dying, but it was going to live a better life. And he knew it. Are you with me? I will seek truth in whatever unwanted space I'm in, unwanted location I'm in. And then this one shows up. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. In the midst of all that's going on, this is what God says. But don't stop there, because the next verse is even better. This is what his plans are. Then you will call on me. He wants you to call on him. He wants you to pray to him. He wants you to say, God, I need you in my life. Then you will call on me and come and pray to me. And I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. This is what God's plan is for you, his good, perfect, and pleasing plan. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I got that from a good book somewhere. So the last word I have for you, I can find God here. So if you're in an undesired location, an unwanted space, trust that God can be found there. You know, for an Israelite who just watched their temple burn, destroyed and buried, because after all, if you're a good Israelite, that's where God is. He's in the temple, right? And here they've been dragged 900 miles to a new place where there's a God for everything under the sun. Here a God, there a God, everywhere a God, God. One for frogs, one's for water, one's for trees, one's for grass, one's for sand, one's for fire, one's for stars, one's for moons. They've got gods everywhere there. And if you were brought up in Israel, you were taught, there's really only one true God. Except we kind of blew that and made a mess of that whole thing. Except somehow, in Babylon, God says, seek me and you will find me. Somehow, in this strange place, where we've been given new names, strange food, different languages to speak, people that are not our own to serve, told to find wives in this place. But if you read through the book of Daniel, he's the other prophet that was during this time period. You'll find all kinds of stories where God was there in Babylon and met his people. And it saved his people. Even when they were thrown into a fiery furnace, who was the fourth guy in that fire? God Almighty was there. I can find God in my undesired location. He is there. I can find God here. Now, this is a room full of people that have vastly different lives in different places, and I'm not sure what exactly it is your undesired location is, but I'm here to tell you, I can find God here. You can find God here. God is here to be found. Number one, God brought me here. I can live here. I can bless others here. I must ignore deceptive voices here. I will seek truth here. And I can find God here. Let's pray. Lord Heavenly Father, Almighty God, when my heart is unsettled, when I find myself in a place that I don't want to be, whether by fault of my own or no fault of my own, help me to know that it is you who is working and moving in my life. Help me to not put pause on my life, but to keep on living in you. And Lord, may we find your grace, your prosperity, your love, your kindness, your goodness in the midst of wherever it is we are. And we can say with confidence, I can find God here. In all places. And may my heart connect with you. Lord, may this church be a place that speaks truth. Truth into the hearts and lives of are hurting it in undesired locations in your life. May this church be a church that speaks truth and right and good into the hearts of those who so desperately need to know this is where God is. He is here in the midst of your trouble and he can be found.